Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lap Podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. The 1000th GP is coming up in China. A very long history. But today, we want to look forwards rather than backwards. Hello everyone to episode 136 of the Fastest Lap Podcast. The Chinese GP is coming up, which is officially labeled as the 1000th GP. However, I heard some people arguing that it isn't really the 1000th. What's that story about?
Pretty much there was some Formula One races back in the early days that were run under Formula 2 regulations. The Indy 500 was classed as a Formula 1 race. A lot of different stories. Frankly, my opinion, I don't really care. It's the 1000 Grand Prix event, let's say. The 1000 Formula 1 Grand Prix event.
It's basically the same story like when we had the US GP in 2000. When was it? 5, 6? Where some people didn't start and then they are arguing now, is it the 100th race or the 200th race of someone because they didn't start there and so on? You have to pick one date where it is the exact number, right?
If you want to be really picky about it, or if you want to just be like me and just not really care that much, it's to me the third round of the 2019 World Championship.
Yeah, that's all we are focusing on right now. And I'm pretty sure you've seen plenty of articles in the media about the history of Formula One, also Formula One itself on their social media channels. They are promoting historic clips, historic seasons, and records that have been built or have been broken throughout the years. However, we do not want to focus so much on the history in our episode today. We much rather want to look forward, because I personally think there is so much, or there will be so much going on in the future, and there will definitely be changes to the sport. And as we all know, not only in Formula One, but in all other areas of life, basically stuff is moving forwards faster than ever. And if we just look in the last 8 years, or in 2010 we had there was the last big rush of new teams coming into Formula One with Marussia and HRT, and back then Lotus, later than Caterham. And after that we only had Haas as a new entry, and there's a lot of talk about how can Liberty Media make Formula One more interesting for newer teams. And then on the other hand, we've got talks of maybe Mercedes, Ferrari, big teams will create a breakaway series. What's your opinion on the general future in terms of how Formula One is many and what teams will contribute to the championship in the future?
Well, it's a very complex question that frankly doesn't have an easy answer.
Formula One is a very fast sport.
You said yourself everything moves very quickly, and it's kind of impossible to know exactly how the sport will look like in 5 years' time. We know the plans that are in place for 2021, but we don't know how it's going to we don't actually exactly know the plans, but we know that there's change in store for 2021, but we don't know how that change will change the sport, or if it will at all. We don't know what's going to happen. So Formula One constantly changes every year. There's different little regulation changes, and then every so often there's a big shift, and yeah, 2021 is set to be the next big one. So I guess Formula One, it's going with the times. There's you know, a lot of talk of an electric future, but you know, these cars right now, these Formula One cars right now, already do rely quite heavily on electric power, and
yeah. Well, but not in terms of the total power output. I mean, the MGUK currently produces, I think, 160. I don't know. Is it kilowatts?
Or is it? Yeah, but I mean, if you take away a car with the electrical power and put it up against a car that has it, it's going to be a huge difference. They do make the cars quite fast. We know that the brake horsepower that these engines are producing are close to, if not, you know, breaking 1,000 brake horsepower. And yeah, for 2021, that's set to get even further, you know, further breaking that barrier. So I think Liberty Media, it's going to be interesting to see exactly what their plans are for the long term. You know, in terms of them being the owners of the sport, it's only been 2 years, and they've done quite a lot, I feel, in those 2 years. I guess one of the biggest, well, to the common fan maybe, the biggest thing that's noticeable from them is their presence on social media, stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Different things like that. Everything's just become a lot more open, which of course is a good thing. But you know, they're facing a tough task now of trying to get all 10 teams on board with this this new plan, which is made very, very difficult by the likes of Mercedes and Ferrari, who have such a big advantage. And you know, they would like to have the biggest advantage as possible. They want to be up there winning the race as easily as they can, and to have a gap like that slashed, to allow the other teams a chance of winning or whatever, is not going to be easy for them, and it's definitely going to be very, very difficult for them to negotiate that. But yeah, we just got to hope that they get everyone on board. And I think the most recent meeting between team principals and Liberty Media, it was kind of, yeah, the general consensus from it was that it was a pretty positive meeting for the future.
And we talked about it in one of our last episodes, the topic budget caps. And I think that's a pretty important topic in terms of, yeah, one element to attract new teams to the sport. As well, as we all know, Formula One is pretty expensive, and a budget cap might be one way to get manufacturers like Audi, Porsche, whoever, joining the sport. I mean, the last bigger car manufacturer name was Alfa Romeo now, that basically, yeah, took over the Sauber team. And I would hope so, that we can see more famous, bigger names in Formula One. But also, on the other hand, I think you would agree that we do not lose the independent teams like Williams, like maybe McLaren as well. Also a bigger name, but they've been a Formula One team for many, many years. So I would say that is important, and that should be very high on the priority list of Liberty Media. But as you said, with Ferrari and Mercedes being on top, not wanting to lose their advantage, and also with Ferrari being in a very, very strong position in terms of negotiation. I mean, we know they get a bonus just for being there all the time. They have the possibility to put in their veto to new proposals if they are like really important for them. So that's going to be really, really difficult. And as you said, it's very difficult to predict anything, and I wouldn't say that I'm in a position to give even an educated guess for what might happen in the future. But one thing we actually just already talked about, I didn't think we would get to that topic that early, is electric engines. I mean, we currently have already Formula E series that is only allowing electric engines, and that is from the ground up built around electric engines. With new car shows, every time we see more advanced, more powerful electric cars. I think the last one I saw had like 1,900, close to 2,000 horsepower, just with electric engines and good mileage. And when I read that, I was like, "When? Just imagine in a few years, where in nearly every aspect, electric engines might be better than internal combustion engines. What will we do then as Formula One? I mean, I guess you agree, Fergal, but I like the sound of the cars. You like them. Many fans, they do like the sound. But what if those engines are just much slower then?
Well, I wonder if Formula One, if we substituted in electric engines and somehow the cars were as quick as they are today, I wonder if fans would still treat the sport the same way. Personally, I have absolutely no problems with electric engines, as long as Formula One remains the fastest sport with, you know, the good action, good competition, the best teams, the best engineers, the best everything basically in motorsport. As long as it remains like that, I don't care if we completely bring in electric engines. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen eventually. The Formula One will switch over to electric engines. It's going to happen. You know, the road cars in the next 20 or 30 years will be, actually no, I think it's a bit longer. Yeah, around 20 or 30 years, I think. They'll be completely banned in some countries in Europe. I know in Ireland for me, and Germany for you, it's in that time frame.
And if you look at more advanced countries like I think Norway, they're already selling more electric cars now than they are selling internal combustion engine cars.
Yeah, so that's what I was saying about the internal combustion engine cars. They'll be banned from being sold. But you know, if they're being banned from being sold, then they'll still be around for another 20 or 30 years after that. So they won't be going away quickly, these cars, but eventually the shift to electric engines on the roads will be here, and that's going to translate over onto into motorsport. And we already see the quick rise of Formula E, and I always find it amazing that, you know, people are very, very quick to downplay Formula E and criticize Formula E, but it's, you know, saying that, oh, you know, it's nothing compared to Formula One, it's you know, whatever. But the fact that it's in its fifth season only, and it's already being compared to Formula One, I think I've said this before. I think it's an amazing achievement for Formula E, and Formula One, of course, is not Formula E, and they don't have to compete against each other.
Do you think they can coexist in the future then if Formula One moves to electric engines?
It's hard to see that, because, you know, what would make, unless you had some sort of, unless you kept Formula E as some sort of spec series, like it is now, or, you know, you kept Formula One the way it is now with different teams developing everything about the car. It's something that we just don't know, really. It's still very early on in this shift over into electric power. And
I mean, just thinking it through currently, we do have other open wheeler series with internal combustion engines as well. I mean, I guess it's just a thing that those are new technologies, and you think, oh, there's a new series, they're using that now, everyone else just copies them or something. But I mean, yeah, just thinking about it, we currently have many series let's just put IndyCar in there. Also, cars relying heavily on downforce, internal combustion engine, but still nobody is really comparing it to Formula One, right?
Yeah, there's no need to compare it to Formula One. They're both very respected series. I, you know, highly regard Formula One, Formula E, IndyCar, F2, all the series, and they don't need to compete against each other. And it gets a bit, it gets a bit toxic, I think, when you start shaming other series for different reasons. I mean, I'm a fan of motorsport. I love motorsport. I'll watch as many series as I can. But at the end of the day, Formula One is the pinnacle. It always has been. And personally, I always hope it will be. But that doesn't mean that I can't enjoy other series that might not be as advanced or as... or don't have as fast as cars as Formula One. That doesn't make it not exciting. But yeah, it's I won't mind if electric engines come into Formula One in the future. Sound isn't really much of an issue for me, or who knows, maybe in the future electric cars can somehow be loud for some way that they develop stuff. But yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of, I don't know if I think I've said it before on this podcast, that my favorite car manufacturer is actually Tesla, which of course produces electric cars. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't really have an issue with that at all, as long as the cars remain quick and challenging.
I agree. I mean, in terms of the normal road cars, I wouldn't say one car manufacturer is better than the other. I haven't driven any electric cars, to be honest. But for me, basically walking through the streets in a big city, I mean, of course, it is a good thing if you don't have internal combustion engines just blowing particles into your face and you having to live with bad air, basically the polluted air. So it's obviously it's an improvement if you have electric cars in the inner cities. In terms of racing, I just don't know whether whether I could really view Formula One like I do view it right now. I've watched a few Formula E races, you know, and the racing is good, it's exciting, but I don't know, maybe it's just something you need to get used to, but the sound is really missing for me.
Yeah, not for me. I don't think the sound matters at all. The argument of sound is long lost on me. Even today when I see people on old videos, you know, saying, oh, that's the true sound of Formula One, that's, you know, what a Formula One engine sound like, I just scoff and go like, get out of here, man, like, what are you talking about? It's not the most important thing. It's not an important element of Formula One to me. Of course, it's something that, of course, like, I'm not denying that it's should be done away with. I do enjoy the sound, I do enjoy loud engines, but when you put that alongside the cars being as quick as they can be, drivers fighting as hard as they can be, I don't see why not having loud engines wouldn't make it any, you know, less exciting. I don't see why it would take away excitement from the race. And maybe perhaps over time, as electric engines become more and more popular, electric cars become more and more popular, we get more used to them, maybe when Formula One goes fully electric, we'll be used to it then.
Could well be the case. I mean, we had the same story, at least with me. I guess you can remember it last year or something when we discussed the Halo, and I thought like, oh, no, 2 years ago already. When I said, oh God, it's good looking hideous, I will never get used to it, and that's going to be I will always see that thing. Well, after four races, I think I said it here in the podcast, I don't mind it anymore. It'll probably be the same with the sound, I guess, but it's just so hard to imagine for me you grew up watching Formula One with sound, with downshifts, with acceleration and the sound associated with that. So it's going to be difficult, but yeah, probably as you said, when we have silent cars on the road, you'll probably would actually view Formula One racing as a bit strange if you there have some engine noises when on the street you don't hear anything, you know. Maybe it's really something you need to get used to. And I agree with you. I mean, whether it's a V10, a V8, V6 now, I think all of those engines had something in their characteristics that sounded good, and I like all of those three, I would say. So, yeah, but engines, electric, non-electric, I think it is a very big topic, and I would guess, I think even Ross Brawn said that they are looking into the future to maybe have all electric cars, right?
Yeah, but it's so very early on in the process.
Yeah, sure.
And, I mean, Formula One's not going to turn into an electric series anytime soon. If it does eventually happen, it will be quite a while from now.
And maybe in steps, like maybe doubling the electric power from now or something.
Which necessarily might not be a bad thing if the power adds extra speed, extra straight line speed. It's as the technology grows, perhaps we can be more and more impressed by it and think, yes, that's actually that would be a good addition to Formula One. But yeah, I mean, the whole electric cars have been around, for a while, but it's kind of only, I think only in the next decade or so we'll probably see them becoming more and more, like, on the road, when I'm walking around the city, I rarely ever spot an electric car. It's quite rare I'd ever see one, but I think
when I do, it's a Tesla.
Yeah, which I don't mind. I think they're more popular in mainland Europe, but over here they're not very popular at all. Like I said, maybe just as we get more and more used to them, it'll become more and more normal for us.
Yeah, so very controversial topic, I would guess, for the future. And yeah, maybe one last thing we should discuss when looking to the future is the locations Formula One might travel to. We had in the last couple of years, we lost venues like the Turkish Grand Prix, like the Indian GP, like the Korean GP, and many more probably I missed. But Liberty Media seems to be, or maybe they are trying to sign new deals. Now we had the news about the Vietnam GP. Then we are hearing stories about a possible Grand Prix in the Netherlands. For me, personally, I think the most important thing would be to just keep the core venues, the core locations on the Formula One calendar that all fans basically love. The Spas, Suzukas, and Silverstones of the Formula One calendar. The thing really is, we heard stories that they're negotiating with those venues and that there are difficult times. I mean, even with Germany, you had 1 year where Hockenheim basically hosted the race. 1 year we had Nürburgring because of the finances. Those races are struggling. And on the other hand, we have new tracks like Russia, new tracks. I don't know any other examples right now, but do you think it is a real, or it should be a real priority for Liberty Media to expand the calendar to new venues, or would you say what we currently have is already a good thing and we should only tweak it where it is really necessary?
Well, I always find it a little bit exciting when we turn up to a new venue. What I think is the most important thing is to keep the calendar at around the number of races it's at now. I really wouldn't like to see it grow to 25-ish races. Yeah. I've kind of said anywhere, the ideal number for me, I think, is around 17 to 20. I think that's kind of the perfect number of Formula One races, because with that, you have time for small little breaks throughout the year, as well as the big winter break, which is vital in Formula One,
and the summer break, which is I guess well needed for all personnel involved in Formula One.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, it's very, very tough. But
I mean, we've both seen in firsthand in Barcelona how many people there are with the teams and what kind of work they have to do, building motorhomes, tearing them down and again, washing tires. There's so much going on behind the scenes, and all those people are not featured on the front covers of magazines or in TV. And those people really need the month off, I guess.
Yeah, but I like to see new races coming onto the calendar, but it's a tricky balance of wanting to add more races and not wanting ones to disappear, but yeah, I think there's five races this year that are out of contract at the end of the year. I think Mexico, Spain, Britain, Germany, and someone else that I just can't quite think of. But it's I don't know. I mean, yeah, like I said, there's talks that the Dutch Grand Prix will be announced for 2020 soon at Zandvoort, which, yeah, I mean, if they don't do some reconfiguration, I think could be in for a bit of a boring Grand Prix. I mean, it's a nice circuit, but for these Formula One cars that are wide and long, it could be a bit of a boring one. But yeah, we'll see. It doesn't really. The one good thing it has going for it is that, unless they change it around, which it probably would for Formula One, is the track limits, that there's not really any margin for error on that circuit. But I do like to see races being added to the calendar, and from a Liberty Media perspective, these races aren't being added just for the sake of growth. You know, there is some sort of thinking behind it. For example, in Vietnam, I think that's a good country to go to. Vietnam is it's a recovering country, of course, mm-hmm. from the war that it had with the US, and it's a really, really nice country, actually, or from what I've heard and seen, I guess. It's it looks like a really nice country. It's another presence in Asia, which we know has a big percentage in the world's population. So if we can gather more fans in that area, you know, with the more fans the better. The Dutch Grand Prix, we've seen most races in Europe are invaded by Verstappen fans. So to have a Dutch Grand Prix would be great for Formula One, because you can bet that no matter how many grandstands that they'd fill or that they install for the weekend, that they'd be completely full.
And orange.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm all for adding races. If races disappear, you know, so be it. I just hate for the likes of Spa, Monaco, Great Britain, etc., to drop from the calendar. You know, that would be a huge shame. Monza too. You know, there's a few in there that you could throw in. But yeah, it is a tricky scenario to sort of negotiate, because the teams don't really want to add many more races, and you can understand why, like we've said. But I do like to see new races added to the calendar, but I don't want to see it reach the mid-20s number, because as Christian Horner said, with the amount of races that we're at now, it's at the calendar is at a saturation point.
Yeah, and honestly, I have to say, I'm glad that I don't have to take all the decisions Liberty Media has to take in the next 5 or 10 years. It's going to be an interesting time, but obviously, I'm curious to find out what they will decide on together with the teams. But now, looking into the nearer future, the Chinese GP is coming up, as I said. What are your main points you are looking out for in this weekend's Grand Prix, Vogel?
Well, yeah, I mean, once again, the big question is going to be, you know, who can come out on top. It's going to be very interesting to see the battle between Mercedes and Ferrari. Mercedes looked very, very strong in Australia. Ferrari looked very, very strong in Bahrain. Of course, they had their individual issues for Leclerc and Vettel, but who can really produce the fastest car in China will be really, really intriguing. And Vettel and Bottas will want to come back after a tough weekend in Bahrain. Leclerc will want to get the win that maybe he felt he deserved back. That's going to be interesting. Also, of course, the midfield battle, where will Renault shape up? Renault have had a really tough start to the year. Of course, got points in Australia. Looked good for a double point finish in Bahrain, but double DNF. And then, of course, Red Bull, and maybe more specifically Gasly. We know that he is having issues with the setup and everything like that. So hopefully, for his sake, he can get back on form as soon as possible and be up there challenging Verstappen potentially. And maybe hopefully Red Bull as a whole can start to claw in Ferrari and Mercedes. Maybe the post-Bahrain test that they had helped them a little bit. But we'll see. It should be a very interesting weekend ahead.
Do we actually know by now what is planned for the 1000th GP? Do we know whether there are... I think I heard there are some hot laps with historic cars, but is there anything other, or was there anything other announced?
Not that I know of. To be honest, I haven't really been keeping up to date with that kind of stuff. If I see something, I'll probably see it a day before, or an hour before it happens. But I'm sure there's a lot of things in store for the weekend. But I think probably the most fitting thing that we could have to celebrate the 1000 race is a fun and exciting Grand Prix. And that's definitely what I'll be hoping for.
Yep, nothing more to add. We definitely hope for a very exciting Chinese GP, and we'll talk about that in our next episode. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.